Live from the greatest city, in the greatest state, in the greatest country, on the second greatest planet in the solar system, it's episode number 274 of the award-winning Midday with Trey and BK. On today's show, at 10:45, is Major League Baseball thinking expansion? Eventually, and Rob Manfred listed some cities that could land a big league club. At 10:30, where are we at in society? An Aussie thought a horse gave him consent to bang. And in mere minutes, we talk Texas football, including a continuation of the stir that Deshaun Elliott caused yesterday. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is the Horns fantasy sports expert and one-time gigolo, Adam Wagner. What's up, Wags?
What's up, boys?
And the one Jew in a sea of Gentiles here at the Horn, living a trucker lifestyle that includes the fastest cattle prod this side of Dirty Sixth, he is Brad Kellner.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
Louis Oosthuizen?
Nope.
Luis? What do you mean, Luis? He's South African. He's not Latin American.
No yelling on the bus!
Oh yeah, the Open Championship is going on right now. I did not realize as much until hearing that little drop.
The British Open.
The Open Championship.
At what point did they make that change from the British Open to the Open Championship?
It wasn't a change they made. They've always gone Open Championship.
It's the Open.
The American side of things that has started calling it the British Open over the years.
But ours should just be the Open. Right, the U.S. Open should just be the Open because we're the best country in the world, so that means we don't even need to list ourselves. So we get the rite of passage for that name.
Well, we had one of the commentators who's actually on today's broadcast in studio within the last month or two.
We did.
Along with the Claret Jug, explaining why it is the Open Championship versus the British Open, because it's open to anybody around the world, whereas the U.S. Open, you actually have to come qualify in the U.S.? Wasn't that part of the bit?
Well, yeah. Originally, there's a little factoid for you people on a Thursday edition of the Midday program. Anybody could show up for the Open Championship. If you had the money and you had the clubs, you could go participate in what is now the Open Championship. That was way back in the 1800s. It's one of sport's oldest tournaments out there. But you're absolutely right. The Claret Jug came in a month ago. It was Matt Adams, our friend from the Golf Channel, who is a part of the Golf Channel coverage right now of the Open Championship. We'll continue to bring you leaderboard updates throughout today and tomorrow. Of course, that tournament will wrap up over the weekend. But as of right now, it's Kevin Kisner, the American, in the lead. He is in the clubhouse, 5 under par, 1 shot up on Van Rooyen, Tony Finau, and what is this? Zach Xander Lombard.
Great name.
A couple of South Africans a shot back. Of course, Tony Finau there as well. So we'll give you live coverage. Jordan Spieth had a great start to his round, but really struggled on the back nine, more specifically the last 4 or 5 holes. He is 1 over for the championship. At one point, he was 3 under today, but really struggled down the stretch, as I mentioned.
Tiger Woods just getting his round going. He's at 1 under right now.
There it is. Tiger Woods, y'all, who is supporting... Sporting some black tape on his neck. That was
KT tape?
A cause for concern for some people. Yeah, I think it's one of those things.
Yeah.
He showed up to the course with it on, and there was some concern, and his team came out and said, no, it's no big deal. Just a little bit of neck tightness, but it ain't no thing.
I've never gone the KT tape route, but I know a lot of people who swear by it. So Tiger Woods is somebody who clearly takes really good care of himself, and he's tapped into what's going on with his body. So I trust that he knows what he's doing there.
You know the first thought that comes to my mind. Tiger Woods wakes up with a sore neck. What was he doing the night before? Somebody rocking, knocking double. Yeah.
I don't think
that was going on last night. He's a little bit sore. His body can't... hang the way it once did.
Unless there's something really kinky going on in the bedroom, I don't think the neck soreness is a primary concern in terms of general soreness the day after.
Well, as we know from Tiger Woods, it's not always in the bedroom. It might be in a Denny's. You know, there could have been some plates, some silverware involved with last night's festivities. All speculation, of course.
You're saying he was having to contort himself at the... Where are they over in Britain right now? Scotland?
Scotland.
In the Scottish version of Denny's. That he may have just been back banging a bus girl, and that caused the neck injury.
Why not?
Okay,
it's fresh. It's fresh product over there.
Sounds legit to me.
Yeah, absolutely, Trey. I ate a Big Mac this morning.
I heard you say that on the morning
show.
What in the hell were you thinking, man? That is disgusting.
I don't think so. It was in the fridge. What do you mean it's disgusting? It was in the fridge overnight.
You know what I say that.
I think Wags ate one too.
But we all, God damn you guys.
So you might be stuck doing the final 2 hours of your show by yourself.
That's a genuine disappointment on his face though.
Yeah. It's disappointment and disgust as well. But then again, I say that. We all can think back to the science fair days back in elementary school. And what was the one food item that would be left out for like 35 to 40 days and it looks the exact same as it did when you ordered it from the drive-thru window? The McDonald's Big Mac.
Now that is fresh.
So you guys are probably okay.
Yeah, of course we're all right. It's one day. You can eat anything one day late.
Yeah, that's true.
Been in the fridge. It's all right. No big deal. The French fries were not good.
But the time that we consumed it, though.
Yeah, I had mine at like 6:15 this morning. Just getting up, getting out of bed, and down in a Big Mac, man. What
did you have yours, Wags?
When I got here.
Did you do it on a dare or something?
No.
You had the opportunity to make something or eat something at home, and you chose to eat the Big Mac
here. Well, I didn't have one, and I was just like, wait. Somebody took my Big Mac before I got out of here last night. And then I was just, and BK's just like breaking news. No, there's one more in the fridge. And I was like, oh, the opportunity.
I thought about eating the second one.
I had to eat it because of the opportunity.
I thought about going in for seconds today on the Big Mac.
Hey, speaking of, while we have your attention, Wags, I have to ask you, where the hell were you yesterday? We had a meet and greet with Tom Herman. We had a photo session going on. You were supposed to be a part of that. We had show-specific pictures that were taken, and you decided to skip out on us.
I didn't try to skip out. I didn't get out of here until about 2:45, almost 3 p.m. yesterday, and then I had to fight about 50 minutes of traffic to get up to Cedar Park and Round Rock, turn around, come right back down here after I had to go get pants because, you know, everybody's just like, nah. I had this one dude that I was going to lean on here at the station that was going to wear some shorts, and I was just like, all right, man, I can rock some shorts. I got a collared shirt in the car. I'm ready to go. And then the guy had to go back up to Cedar Park where he lived as well and get some pants as well.
Yeah, so, that was me.
Yeah. So that once I found out that my partner in crime was pantsing up, I had to go back.
Partner
and get some pants.
In crime.
Yeah, well, we're the Cedar Park Bandits, I guess. I don't know.
Cute.
Cedar Park Bandits.
I like that one.
I'm naming us that.
Just getting married or something?
Eventually.
You got
an
announcement you need to tell the people or something?
It might be my second marriage.
You got a secret handshake or something, too?
What's going on with you? We do have that.
All right. But it was good to see everybody out there last night at the Tom Herman meet and greet. A lot of great sponsors, great clients, great friends of the program. And all the shows here on the Horn came out last night. And it was good to see everybody out at DKR, man. We're counting down the days. We are 44 days away from the return of Longhorn football. It was great to see DKR, man. It's in great shape, ready to go for that home opener, which is 51 days away against Tulsa.
Not just that, but BK, tell me if you feel the same way. I always, every time I actually set foot on the field at DKR, which we got to do yesterday, thank you very much to the kind folks over at UT and IMG as well, to take our photographs, every time I set foot on that field, a little bit of a tingle down my spine. It's a special feeling every time you get to walk around down there.
Brings back some great memories, man.
Yeah, from your playing days?
From my playing days,
okay.
Yeah.
But I do have to call you out as well, because at one point we were taking station-wide pictures, and there was a picture planned where all of the hosts, all of the on-air talent, producers, everybody else at the Horn were taking a picture where we jump up in the air. And you chose to be the one guy not jumping up in the air. Why did you do that?
I'm not doing that. That's not a picture you do with a bunch of dudes. That's one like you're taking a family portrait and the mom is like, yo, everybody do this. It'll be cute. And you have to say yes because it's your mother or otherwise you'll get in trouble. When it's like six grown men trying to time out a jump photo, I'm not doing that. It's not freshman year homecoming, okay? What do you mean? Why am I getting yelled at? All of you guys should be yelled at.
How about being a part of the camaraderie? How about being part of the group?
I'm a part of the camaraderie.
How about being part of the group here and actually having a bonding moment with everybody else?
That makes me a part of the group? I have to jump while someone's taking a picture of us?
I think it would have helped.
Well, then I don't know if I want to be a part of the group. I got to look elsewhere. I'm putting in my 2 weeks if that's what it takes. All right, speaking of some Texas football, of course, being on the field last night was great. Golly, it was hot. Being on that turf is it's a whole nother ball game right there. Mm-hmm. But we talked about this. This actually broke yesterday. It was almost 24 hours that Deshaun Elliott had a four-tweet rant, if you will. Of course, lifetime Longhorn, now member of the Baltimore Ravens, the sixth-round pick in the 2018 NFL Draft. If you missed the tweets, well, they've been deleted, but, you know, nothing from the internet is ever really deleted.
Lives forever.
Screenshots are always there, and yes, whatever's posted on the internet, once you hit that tweet, that post button, it's there, lasting in infamy. So, I won't read the full tweets again, but basically it was a four-tweet rant from Deshaun Elliott saying, hey, if you're on the current coaching staff, keep my name out your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't show us enough love. You didn't show us respect. And he also went on to say, you know, stop talking bad about me and about the other Texas Longhorns who left after their junior year to go pursue a career in the National Football League. Trey, we don't have a whole lot of context with this. We haven't, and I don't think we will ever hear Tom Herman comment on this situation.
Well, he eventually will, but he gets a couple weeks to think about what exactly he wants to say to the questions.
You're right. Yeah, I'm sure his first game week press conference, or whenever the next time we'll hear from Tom Herman, somebody will ask him about that situation, but nothing yet. And, you know, who knows how long this will stay as headline news, but we're looking for football-related stuff to talk about a month and a half away from the season. But now that you've had the chance to sleep on it, we've heard a little bit more. There was a report from Brian Davis of Hook'em.com and the Austin American Statesman that said the Twitter rant that Deshaun Elliott went on was sparked by a 4th of July party that apparently Deshaun Elliott had in Austin. And the coaches reportedly told the current players not to go to that party. Some of the players ended up going regardless. Deshaun Elliott was informed that the coaches were telling current players not to go to his party.
And to stay away from Deshaun and some of the other former players in general
right.
who left school early.
Just to do that in general. And that's the closest thing to context, if you will, that we have in this story, Trey.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, BK, for Longhorn fans out there, because people seem to be sniping back and forth a little bit, and there's also shots being taken at guys like Deshaun Elliott, which I think is a real shame as well. The most important thing for you to consider right now, as it pertains to the current football team going forward, is that the guys who are on the roster right now are all pretty much on board with what's happening heading into the 2018 season. What happened yesterday with Deshaun Elliott, in a way, is a culmination of the former players on this roster who were no longer a part of things because they decided to go pro. Some guys may have graduated already. Really dealing with the strife that existed throughout this program, going back to December when you were reading multiple reports about there being major issues between the players and coaches to the degree that they had to have a come-to-Jesus conversation with one another.
Yeah.
They had those conversations. The bowl game was played. After the bowl game, Breckenhager says, you know what? Herman won the locker room with the game tonight. So for a lot of the current players, the guys still on the roster at that point, that was it. It was over and done with. That closure didn't exist just yet for the guys who announced that they were going pro. We talked about it yesterday. The guys who announced that they were going pro and skipping the bowl game, other than Malik Jefferson, were not on the sideline for that bowl game. They were watching that game from the stands. And so there is some buildup from there. There's also some other things that we've heard behind the scenes that I really don't care to get into right now. But in terms of the Austin American Statesman report that came out yesterday about why this happened, I do believe that was the straw that led to Deshaun Elliott finally saying, you know what, I'm tired of this. It's over with. I'm calling these guys out. Maybe it's an immature way to do it on Twitter.
It is.
But doing so in a public forum, and hopefully it ends there. And for me now, I believe that you probably do hear and see the end of any interaction between Deshaun Elliott, maybe Connor Williams, because he responded to what Deshaun Elliott had to say yesterday. Malik Jefferson, if there's any of those three who's maybe bigger than the others in terms of just kind of staying away from all that stuff, you probably don't ever hear anything from Malik Jefferson. But this is probably the end of that whole ordeal. We finally are able to close the book on that story that actually was something going back to December.
So you're not worried about this affecting the current team, that maybe the
not
culture that we've here is so ingrained in the current locker room might be affected by this, you know, the fact that current players, obviously some current player who hung out with Deshaun Elliott against what the coaches requested, which is a little bit of a ridiculous request if we're being completely honest.
Yes, it is.
You can't tell, you know, former teammates to not hang out with each other over the 4th of July. It's not like they're skipping practice or a game to go hang out with Deshaun Elliott. It's the 4th of July. They're off. They're having a good time. Deshaun's back in town.
Yeah, stay
That's
away
ridiculous.
From a guy because he's a bad influence, a dude that they have known longer than they've known you. You're right. That is absurd.
Yeah, it's just it's not a good look for me, and it scares me a little bit, right, that one of the players clearly told Deshaun Elliott what the coaches had told them. So it's almost like, well, they're siding with the former player versus the current coaching staff. You know, Tom Herman always talks about that bunker mentality. Hypothetically, Deshaun Elliott, yes, he's a lifetime Longhorn. He's no longer a part of this bunker. He's with Baltimore now. He's
right.
not a part of the Texas football program. So hearing that, at least according to this report, and me drawing conclusions from this Brian Davis story, that a current player went and revealed some secrets from the so-called Texas football bunker to a guy who's no longer in the bunker. That scares me a little bit. I don't love that.
See, I feel like guys can still be totally bought into things, but friends are going to talk about stuff. And if dudes are like laughing about the fact that whoever over on the Texas staff, I'm not going to necessarily say it was Tom Herman or Todd Orlando, whoever it could have been that was saying, look, we don't think you guys should be hanging out with Deshaun Elliott. We don't think he's a great influence for you. They're not going to be going back to say, oh my gosh, did you know that so-and-so said that we shouldn't be hanging out with you? They're going to be saying it in laughing terms. They're not saying it to try and start stuff. They're saying it because, dude, get this nonsense. Homeboy over here is telling me that we shouldn't be hanging out. I don't give a bleep about that. Like, we're totally committed to the football team. We also think it's hilarious that we're not supposed to be hanging out with you because you're trying to better yourself by going to the NFL draft a year earlier than the coaches think you should be.
Well, Deshaun didn't find it very funny, apparently.
He did not. And I actually wonder the dude or people, who, however many individuals it was who was getting back to Deshaun Elliott, Connor Williams, whoever else, saying the coaches are saying stuff about you guys, negative things, if knowing what they do now, they would have shared that information to begin with.
Right. And it depends, right? If this is all this is about a pool party and the coach is saying you shouldn't hang out with Deshaun, he's a bad influence or whatever, then that's no big deal. But if, you know, if in practice or repeatedly the coaches are ripping Deshaun Elliott and Connor Williams and Malik Jefferson by name and saying, you know, those guys suck, those guys weren't bought in, they weren't working hard for this program, I don't buy that. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Yeah. I mean, Malik Jefferson, an all-conference linebacker last year. Deshaun Elliott was a Thorpe Award finalist last year, led the country in interceptions with 7. I mean, these dudes put their heart and soul in this team. And Trey, I think you're on the same boat as me here. I mean, I'll never rip a kid for leaving early to go pursue his NFL career. I mean, you only have X number of snaps as a football player. Any play could be your last. You got to go get paid while you can. And if, in fact, the coaches have been consistently ripping those guys for leaving early, that's a little bit ridiculous. But, you know, if it's just been, hey, those guys aren't a part of the team anymore, you don't have to associate with them, then there's no need for Deshaun Elliott to do what he did. He lost his cool. It's a bad look for the university. It's going to be used as a recruiting tool for Texas A&M, for Oklahoma, for the other schools in the state and in the Big 12 Conference. That's not great. And one thing to consider, and I'm I'm trying to present facts and opinions and arguments from both sides here in terms of coach versus player. One thing to consider, Deshaun Elliott for a long time has been dating the daughter of Charlie Strong. And Deshaun Elliott, like a lot of players on the University of Texas, were big fans of Charlie Strong as a head coach at the University of Texas. And it's no secret, as you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, there was a rift, at least at the start, between this new current coaching staff and some of the players who were there under Charlie Strong. So that is something that could be a part of it as well, sort of helping out Charlie Strong and taking a shot at a coach that, you know, maybe Deshaun Elliott didn't want to play for. Just something to consider.
I don't think it's as much that as it is like they're legitimately being some things said about these guys, and they're just growing tired of it. But again, the most important thing to me is that the dudes that are currently on the roster are fully bought in on things. And there may be a couple of detractors here and there. You have that everywhere, though. If it's a roster of how many scholarship guys? 82 scholarship guys plus the walk-ons equals about 100. There will be a handful of guys who may be saying things behind backs or behind the scenes that aren't necessarily healthy for the culture, but a majority of the guys who are responsible for the culture, the leaders on this football team, are fully bought in. They were bought in after the Texas Bowl last year. It's why Breckenhager came out and said what he did about Tom Herman winning a locker room over. That strife existed with a lot of those guys up to that point as well. It's over and done with for the current Longhorn football team. That's why it's not as big of an issue for me. Will it linger in recruiting? Perhaps. If Texas football doesn't win this year, that may become an issue here in the next 4 or 5 months.
Yep.
But if Texas football does what a lot of us expect them to do, and that's win maybe 8 or 9 football games, and we see more progress towards what Tom Herman is trying to build, this will be swept under the rug within a couple months.
100%, right? If this team wins games, no one's going to talk about this. No one's going to remember this. It'll be over. If this team wins 6 or 7 games again this year, those questions about culture in the locker room will be re-brought up. All right. Real quick, Trey, before we take a break.
Yes, sir.
News yesterday actually broke on the afternoon show. Tom Herman sat down with Chad and Kevin at the meet and greet event at DKR last night. And released the fact that Mikey Grandy, the JUCO offensive line transfer from the College of San Mateo in California, he will no longer be playing on the Texas football program. He was medically disqualified. Had a concussion that he suffered in the spring, and doctors will not clear him, have not cleared him, will not clear him to play football again. Mikey Grandy will stay on campus. He will work to earn his degree at the University of Texas, but will no longer be a part of this offensive line. When we talk about the offensive line depth, we don't know. Look, Mikey Grandy wasn't expected to be a starter on this Texas football team this year, but it is a position that in recent years we haven't seen a whole lot of depth there. That is perhaps another hit for this offensive line unit.
Perhaps, but I think it affects 2019 more than 2018. Just going back and watching his highlight tape from his days at community college out in California, he was still fairly raw as a prospect. He was a guy that, quite frankly, half of his highlight tape was him taking shots when plays were over with. So it looked like he had that finisher mentality that the coaches are looking for this offseason, but maybe leaning a little bit more towards the Robert Killebrew side of things than anything else. But first off, for me, best wishes to the kid. Glad they're catching this right now versus down the road where it is possibly causing more severe problems in years to come. And he has a great opportunity in front of him to get his degree from the University of Texas and then make something great of that as well. So it's not that big of an issue for me for 2018. I think for 2019 it could have been a big deal. I think he was going to be a guy that might have been vying for Patrick Vahe's guard position come 2019. But for 2018, I don't think he was going to be seriously considered in the mix. And I know some Longhorn fans feel otherwise. Totally entitled to your opinion on that one. I don't think this is that big of a loss for the current season.
I just hope that's not a sign of things to come with injuries on the offensive line, because once again, and I hate that Tom Herman is saying this. I hate that he is saying this. And he said it last year too, right? He's like, well, I feel like our top 22 can compete with a lot of teams out there. And
he Did he say that?
He said, and he said the same thing about the offensive line, right? He's like, I feel good about our starters on the offensive line. Well, he's saying the same thing this year. He's like, our first five on the offensive line, I feel good about. I think they'll take a step. Herb Hand will bring big-time improvements to that unit. I don't like hearing that it's just the first five, because offensive line injuries are inevitable. They happen. When you're battling in the trenches for 12 games, plus fall camp, plus practice every week, one to two, hopefully not more than that, but dudes are going to get hurt. We saw it last year. You see it every year with every program, every level of football around the country. Offensive line depth, I think, is better than last year, but it is still, it's still a concern for me in 2018.
No, I totally agree with you on that one. And I feel like, if anything else, not only do they have a couple of specific guys at positions, they also have a swing guy or two, a guy like Elijah Rodriguez who can play multiple positions, who can help you out in a pinch if a dude does go down to injury as well. So that will certainly be something worth monitoring, because as you said so eloquently, was it yesterday, BK, that you hate to hear that the offensive line is an injury or two away from a problem, like everybody says it, but injuries are an inevitable part of football,
especially along
the offensive line. You're absolutely right about that. So injuries are going to happen this year. I think Texas is better equipped this year to deal with those injuries than at any point in the last, what, 5 to 7 years?
Who knows? I think you're right. I think you're right. But we'll wait and see. 44 days away from Texas and Maryland. We'll continue the conversation, of course, all day and all week and all month long, right here on the Horn. All right, coming up next, a little where are we at in society today? Yeah, what is consent when animals are involved? We've got a debate. We got a story out of Australia that's going to make you scratch your head and really wonder where we're at in society. Today, we'll talk about what Larry Fedora, the head coach of North Carolina football, had to say yesterday at ACC Media Days. Boy, some headline causing stuff from Larry Fedora, make you scratch your head a little bit. We'll talk about that. Some NFL conversation as well. A little baseball. It is a loaded Thursday edition. Midday with Trey and PK. This is The Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, coming up in just a few minutes. Today's edition of Where Are We At in Society. At noon today, we're talking with Dan Wolkin of USA Today. Just wrote an article calling for Larry Fedora's firing if he truly believes that there is no link between football and CTE. Looking forward to hear his thoughts on that one. In the meantime, the Specs text line is 337-3776. Real quick, before we do get to Where Are We At in Society for today, Chris Bennett, CB, says, whoever snitched to Deshaun by that action isn't bought in. A lot of people feel that way. I understand that line of thinking. I don't think it's as dramatic as a lot of people are assuming, though. I really do think it is one of those things where dudes were just, like, laughing about it, but it's something that clearly got under his skin enough that he decided to go public with it on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I tend to disagree with you. I think, I don't know necessarily about the buy-in factor, but I would say whoever told Deshaun Elliott was pretty serious about it. I think if it was mentioned to Deshaun in a joking, in a laughing, casual matter, then I don't think Deshaun Elliott would have had the tweets that he had yesterday. But something tells me a guy was like, dude, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. The coaches are like really making an effort to tell us to not hang out with you guys, not even talk to you guys. And that, I think, was the final straw, as you mentioned, because we've heard some stuff behind the scenes that, you know, maybe the coaches have not always been the strongest supporters of the guys who left early for the NFL draft this past year. And you know, perhaps we saw some evidence during the Texas Bowl when those players weren't on the sideline for that game against Mizzou. But hopefully, once again, this team wins games in the fall. This will be a non-story. If this team continues to struggle, the questions about culture will arise once again.
No doubt about that. Capricorn says, BK and Wags both ate day-old Big Macs.
Yes,
sir! I feel
sir.
Sorry for you, Trey, because it's going to get pretty stinky in there.
So far, so good, man. Did have to lower the AC. I've got like the fast food meat sweats.
You got bubble guts?
Whatever the equivalent of that is. No, not yet. We're okay. I'm hoping to make it until 1 o'clock so I can get the hell out of here and go to my own toilet.
And on Tiger Woods wearing some KT tape on his neck this morning that was causing.
He had too much fun last night.
For some people. Franchise makes a very valid point here. Maybe this is what you were suggesting. If you're pleasing your woman the way you're supposed to, your neck should hurt.
Hey!
Neck, jaw, tongue, the whole damn deal.
Mm.
Yeah, but you think Tiger Woods is doing that with some hostess at the Scottish equivalent of Denny's?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Not the normal person, but Tiger Woods?
He's not doing that business.
I don't know. I cannot confirm nor deny. I'm going to follow him around
he's
and
not,
see what's going on
let
there.
Let me tell you, he's not ordering the tuna salad at Denny's.
Yeah, he's not looking forward to the return on investment, man.
He's maybe ordering up a hot dog meal for her.
What about
he's
a filet of fish at McDonald's? You never know. They got some good fast food fish options. Maybe a stop at the Long John Silver's. There's a subset.
What is he getting? An A&W root beer with that
Ooh,
fish sandwich?
Not a bad combo right there. It just blows my mind that there is a subset of society. I don't think anyone's willing to admit it. But there's a subset of American society that is keeping Long John Silver's in business.
That's such a great point.
Someone out there is doing it. Every time I drive by, because the Taco Bell I usually go to is right next to a Long John Silver's A&W combo. No one's ever in there. No one's ever in the
Wait,
Long John
Wait, is there a second Long John Silver's A&W combo versus the one over here on Manchac and Ben White?
Yeah, it's on Cameron, I think. Cameron
wow.
Road. Yeah, up north a little bit. You know where that is. I don't know why I'm describing that.
I actually don't really know where Cameron Road is. It's north.
That's all. It's like 35 and Cameron. That doesn't help a whole lot. 51st area, you know, those streets where the numbers
yes.
are there.
Grandy's used to be up
great
there,
with
too.
Directions.
G to the
tell.
Double B, Grandy's Breakfast Buffet.
Oh, I miss Grandy's, man.
It was a solid spot back in the day.
No doubt. All right, any more text you got?
Nah, let's go ahead and hit it.
With that being said, it's that time.
Where are we at in society today?
This segment brought to you by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. Call or text Jake today for a free estimate, 512-653-0687, or visit slplawncare.com.
Can't wait to give Jake a call myself. Jake. I'm having him coming out to the Elling household sometime in the next couple of weeks. We are over the teenager who has been doing such a brutal job on our lawn this summer. Now we're going to get somebody who does a much better job. And we need to ask him at some point whether he's actually still paying off the student loan payments, or if those are already paid off because he's done so much lawn care work over the years.
Does he have to change the name of his company?
I still think it's a great company name.
It's an emotional, yeah, it pulls
Absolutely.
At the heartstrings a little bit. You're trying to help someone pay off the student loan. That's got to be tough, right? If you got like a neighbor or like a family friend who's got a kid who's like 14 years old, he wants to come and mow your yard, and you know it's going to be way cheaper than the other guys, but you also know he's going to do a terrible job, but you can't really say no because it's a neighbor's friend. It's got to be a frustrating bit, something I'll never have to deal with.
Very true. Now, you have the first story in today's Where Are We At in Society, and this one is intriguing. You've only told me the headline, and I have to hear more now.
Well, the headline might be enough. Warning graphic details is what I will say.
Yes.
So if you've got a kid in the car, depends on how you want to raise them, whether or not you listen to this segment. I'm not going to advise you as parents. How about this headline? Man claims wink from horse is consent
for sex.
Oh, my gosh.
That might be all you need right there.
Do horses wink?
Well, all the time. Horses wink all the time.
Okay.
This is one of their bits. So here's the details. A South Wales man convicted over two sexual acts with a horse claims that he had consent. Our man, I shouldn't call him that.
He's not our man.
Daniel Raymond Webb Jackson, 31 years old, pleaded not guilty to committing an act of cruelty to an animal committed when he broke into stables in Grafton on January 22nd. According to police facts, the stable owners had suspected some disturbances on their premises a month earlier, so they put some security cameras in the stables because they thought someone was messing with their horses. Sure enough, the cameras picked up Webb Jackson found crouching in the corner of an open stable, and that's when he was arrested. But here we go. The two sexual acts. This is a little gruesome.
Two!
A little gross.
So there's more than one.
This is from the article. Allowed the horse to fellate him and also digitally penetrated the horse.
Digitally?
Yeah, that's the new bit. That's the new term for second base.
Oh,
little
really?
Hands team. Little hands team action.
Now,
in the court of law, Webb Jackson had claimed, this legitimately happened in the court of law, that because the horse winked at him, it had given him consent to conduct the acts.
So he put, like, peanut butter or something on himself and had the horse lick that off?
Perhaps.
And then he also...
He did a little hands action there with the horsey.
Well, you know, whether it's hands or whether it's just the other finger on the human body for this sicko, I really feel like that's not... Look, this whole thing is wrong.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think that's having much of an effect on the animal itself because we all know the term hung like a horse.
Right.
So him trying to do anything back there, even if he's actually trying to bang the horse himself... That's pretty much like throwing a hot dog in the Grand Canyon, isn't it?
Hot dog down a hallway. Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Grand Canyon might be a better description.
Baseball bat in a trash can, something along those lines. So, I mean, I feel bad for the horse having to deal with this nonsense.
Yeah. It's me too. The horse is me too.
Being fooled into thinking that what was a salt lick was actually something else. Mm. It's actually just a piece of flesh. But, this is just a bad story all the way around.
That's gross. Pretty low brow. Pretty low class by this guy right here. I'm going to jail, deservedly. So, that's nasty. And I guess, thankfully, for Daniel Raymond Webb Jackson, the horse didn't decide to return the favor. Or he didn't think it was a good idea to maybe let the horse, do what he wanted to do.
That should be his punishment.
Well, he'll die. That is the death penalty right there. I believe we've had stories of that leading to death. When the hung like a horse, actual horse, does his thing.
Have
a human being. Yeah.
You've seen that story before.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That should maybe be a new way of death penalty for child molesters.
Oh, get in there! Not related to this horse story. Sorry. Tiger Woods, a long putt off the green. It's 6 inches from the cup. It's on the lip!
Can you stop saying things like get in there in 6 inches when we're talking about a dude banging a horse?
Sorry. Digitally penetrated. Get the term right.
Digitally penetrated. What is he using, his iPhone? Is he using an app to make it happen?
He's throwing a GoPro in there. Doing a little searching of the... All right, this is done. Give me a story, please.
BK, I'm almost reluctant to continue bringing these stories up because they seem to exist on a monthly or sometimes weekly basis, but we have another terrible list of best cities to report on. This is from Travel and Leisure, where they just came out with their top 15 cities in the U.S., this would have been a week ago now, selected by readers who actually chose
readers
San Antonio as the number 7 best city in the country.
Nope. I'm out on this already.
See, here's the added...
San Antonio, I'm not sure San Antonio is the 7th best city in Texas, let alone in the country.
I think there's a valid argument to be made there.
What do we run down the list? I mean, Austin?
Easy.
I would go
Dallas and Fort Worth.
Yeah.
I would actually go Frisco now, better than San Antonio.
I would put Houston above San Antonio.
Houston,
no question.
Clearly above San Antonio.
Does Padre count as a city?
Better than San Antonio. So we're one city away. And I'll go ahead and throw Arlington in there, better than San Antonio.
We're counting
Sorry,
Arlington.
San Antonio, you're number 8.
What about El Paso? What do they bring to the table?
El Paso, San Antonio sucks. Gets the nod over El Paso.
Lubbock? Nah, I shouldn't
nope.
have said that.
San Antonio gets the nod over Galveston. Lubbock as well.
I feel like Galveston might. At least there's a beach there. It's not cool, but there's a beach.
You bring right, up some valid points
San
there.
San Antonio's seventh in Texas.
Seven or eight, depending on whether or not you count Arlington. But what makes this list worse is that San Antonio is ranked number seven ahead of Austin. That came in at number 13.
Get out of here.
And it was the only other Texas city to make the list. Now, according to the magazine...
These are readers. That's why I don't read right here. You guys always get mad at me for not reading. Reading makes you dumber, apparently.
Now, according to the magazine's editor, the reason why San Antonio is ranked so highly is that despite striking contrasts, American cities beloved by travel and leisure readers share a similar spirit. They seduce us with their charisma and their friendliness. They endeavor to preserve their rich histories. They offer restful green spaces. Don't think San Antonio has much of that. A wealth of cultural institutions and innovative restaurants that aim to satisfy the most adventurous palates, and that's what San Antonio is. Look, San Antonio has some of the best Mexican food on the planet. Their food outside of Mexican food isn't that great. I tried to find some when we were down there for the Final Four a couple months ago.
Las Palapas, baby.
Las Palapas was a solid spot.
Solid spot.
But the other food that I ate there, it was okay. Not nearly as good as what we find in Austin or Dallas.
Bad list.
Or Houston or Frisco or Padre. I'm throwing Padre on that list.
Who's number one on this list? The best city in America, according to some readers out there. Does it say who's atop the list?
Number one was Charleston, South Carolina. You ever been there before?
No. Never been to the Carolinas.
Great city.
I'm down to just make them one Carolina and go down to 49 states.
The crown jewel of the South Carolina coast, according to Travel and Leisure. New Orleans came in at number two.
Is there a crown jewel of the South Carolina coast?
South Carolina. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Hilton Head is probably the crown jewel if we're really going crown jewels there. Savannah, Georgia, number three. Santa Fe,
New Mexico?
Four.
Nah. All right, you've said enough.
New York City at five.
I'm done with this list. All right, good stuff. There's a little Where Are We At in Society Today, brought to you by our man Jake. Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. Get it done. Give him a call. Check out the website as well. Make it happen today. Get your lawn taken care of.
SLPLawnCare.com.
All right. Taking a break on the other side. Hey, a big trade just went down in Major League Baseball involving a guy that Houston Astros fans really wanted. And I'll go ahead and give the spoiler. He is not going to the Houston Astros. We will tell you that on the other side, plus an Open Championship leaderboard update. And Rob Manfred, he might be a listener of this program. We'll tell you why on the other side. Midday Show. This is The Horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. Coming up after the top of the hour, we'll talk some more football, including college football news. Larry Fedora made some waves yesterday
come
as
on,
well.
Coach.
Had some things going on in the NFL. But right now, BK, we have some breaking news in Major League Baseball.
We do. A trade has just gone down in the MLB. Of course, the trade deadline coming up at the end of the month. But it is San Diego Padres left-handed relief pitcher Brad Hands. Mm-hmm. Along with another reliever, Adam Simber, going from the Padres to the Cleveland Indians in exchange for highly touted catching prospect Francisco Mejia.
Wow.
Who is, I think, in the top 20 on MLB Pipeline's top 20, top whatever prospects in all of baseball. Not just Indians' top 20 prospect. This is a top 20 prospect overall in all of baseball, Francisco Mejia going from Cleveland back to San Diego. But the Indians bolster their bullpen with the addition of Brad Hand and Adam Simber. Of course, Andrew Miller, the stud lefty, has been battling some injuries for the Tribe this year. He should be back at some point, but another late-inning ad for Cleveland. And, man, the American League is even more loaded now. We know how good the Astros are. The Red Sox have the best record in baseball. The Yankees lineup is ridiculous. And the Indians, you can't count them out yet. Plus, Seattle and Oakland are playing pretty damn well as well. AL is stacked. And I know Astros fans have to be a little disappointed today because Houston fans know if there is a weakness on this Astros team, it is the bullpen. Ken Giles has struggled. He's in AAA right now with Fresno, trying to work some things out. Hector Rondon has done a decent job as the sort of de facto replacement closer for the time being. But I know a lot of Astros fans were hopeful that Brad Hand would find his way to Houston before this trade deadline. That will not be the case. Hand to the Tribe.
Yeah, and the Tribe have had some issues in their bullpen, especially at the back end this year, especially with that Andrew Miller injury. He came back from the hamstring injury one time, was not all that effective, went back on the DL. Looks like he is close to returning right now, but this does a couple of things from Cleveland. Not only does it shore up the back end of their bullpen, but it also gives them a little bit of a safety valve for after this season is over with. Hand signed a three-year deal with San Diego this last offseason. That means he is under Cleveland's control for another 2 years after this season. They did something similar with Andrew Miller when they acquired him back in 2016. I think he had two more years after that season left on his deal. So Andrew Miller is likely walking away from Cleveland after the season is over with. So they have his replacement in place right there with Brad Hand.
That's a good point right there. Brad Hand, a two-time All-Star this year and last year representing the San Diego Padres. He is a very, very quality reliever that Cleveland just picked up. All right, Trey, I'll let you go first. What are we doing here? Are we doing expansion? Are we doing Mike Trout talk? What do you like?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit of expansion first, because Rob Manfred over the last couple of days had a lot to say about the state of the game, and that included a conversation he had on Fox Sports 1 2 days ago, I believe it was now, where he was talking about hoping to be around long enough to see MLB expansion. He hopes that 32 teams is eventually the number that pro baseball settles on, and he actually listed off the names of cities who could be in contention. There's six cities here. I don't know if you've seen these headlines or not. Do you care to take any guesses on the cities that he listed off as possibilities for Major League Baseball to expand to?
Let's see. I have not seen these headlines yet. I would guess there's some international flair in these cities.
There is.
Maybe a return to Montreal.
Ding.
Some Mexico City or Monterrey.
So that's, if there's a seventh city, it's okay. Him mentioning the possibility of Mexico. So I'll give you two for two right now out of the seven.
Boy, interesting.
There is another Canadian city, too.
There is another Canadian
there
city,
is.
Too. What else is in Canada? Quebec.
No, Quebec.
That's a province.
Yeah, that's...
Quebec
well,
City is a thing. What, Winnipeg?
No, Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Also in Canada.
Western Canada.
The other four
Portland?
Are... And Portland's one of those.
I'm going to keep going.
Think about the NFL here, and also the NHL now, for that matter.
What, are they going to add a third team to Los Angeles?
No.
They're going to move some other team to L.A., and they're not wanted there?
You're half right there.
Las Vegas?
Two.
Thank you. Good hint right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm done guessing.
Nashville.
Oh, I was actually going to say Nashville, but then I remember they have the Sounds, AAA team, so I wasn't sure.
And then how about Charlotte, too?
Dude, those were literally the two cities that were running around my head. I don't know why.
See, he can say that after the fact.
I'm not kidding. That's ridiculous. I didn't say them, so I'm not going to take any credit for
Portland,
that.
Vegas, Charlotte, Nashville, returning to Montreal, and maybe even Vancouver as well, and even considering the possibility of putting a pro baseball team in Mexico, too.
I'm all for it. I'm all for a little international flair. I mean, we have games played there every year in baseball and basketball. The NFL goes to London a couple of times every year.
Yeah,
they play games in Mexico
teams,
as well.
Though, right?
You need more than two teams?
Just two teams for the expansion. I would think that you would need at least four or six.
Why is that?
Because I don't know. I mean, 32, you'd have to reconstructure the whole format of the league, right?
No, the league becomes so much simpler if you go to 32 teams. That way you can abolish the whole AL and NL playing one another in the regular season. The leagues can just play one another until it gets to the World Series.
You don't like the interleague play?
I'm done with interleague play.
What about...
It was a fun bit for a while.
You don't even like the old bit where they did it for a couple of weeks over the course of a season?
I'll tell you what. We can return to that if we actually get back to 32 teams and then make a decision from there. Every weekend series, or every weekday series even, because of the number of teams right now, there is an interleague series going on. So I think that you have watered down the whole concept of interleague baseball play. Let's return it to that style that it was previously, where you had a 2 to 3 week period at the beginning of the season, 2 to 3 week period in the middle to end of the season as well, where these teams are actually playing one another.
No, I disagree. I love the interleague play, man. I think it's fun. I think it's unique. You get matchups that you don't always get every year in baseball, and yeah, it's a little more strategy that these AL managers have to use going up against the National League. Gives them a little bit of prep in practice for a potential World Series matchup. I'm a fan of the interleague, but I'm also down for a couple more teams in Major League Baseball. And the way it was before, of course, before the Astros moved from the NL to the AL, you had 16 in the National League and 14 in the American League, so you didn't have to have this interleague series going on every night type of thing. And now they'll have the option. If there's 16 teams in each league, they'll go back to even numbers. They will have the option to remove the interleague play bit that they've brought up the last couple of years.
I'm guessing if there are two front runners for all of this, it would be Nashville and Portland.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe Vegas might be on that
list
as well.
Bring back the Expos. Come on, man.
I don't disagree with that, but I also know that do we want to have baseball played in a dome for however many months that's required up in Montreal? Then again, Toronto has a franchise as well. I wouldn't have an issue with the Expos coming back.
Vancouver. How about that?
I think they need some representation.
That could be an American League West team, you know, Western Canada. That they got that same late night time zone that the Rangers and Astros have to deal with when they go out there.
Vancouver is a world-class city. I would love to go to Vancouver to watch a sporting event or just to hang out for a couple days. But Vancouver and Charlotte seem like the two oddest fits to me out of this list.
Vancouver. Check out the Canucks. Interesting. All right, how about, I teased it before the segment, Trey. Does the commissioner of Major League Baseball listen to this show?
Kind of seems like it with this story.
What he had to say during the All-Star break about Mike Trout. You know, last week I talked about it. We touched on this Monday as well, that MLB does a horrible job of marketing in general, but marketing its superstars. I mean, think about how much you know about what LeBron James does and what Tom Brady does and superstars in other sports. We know a ton about their personal lives and off-the-field lives. And the NBA and NFL promote that. The NBA do a much better job, right? The NFL has some PR issues. They're not quite sure how to get out of their own way when it comes to marketing. But Major League Baseball does a piss-poor job of marketing in general.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, look, I don't know a damn thing about Mike Trout. I know he's a beast. I know he's from New Jersey. I know he likes the Philadelphia Eagles. And that is it. I don't know what he does in his spare time. I don't know if he's married. Dude, I haven't heard Mike Trout talk more than like five times in my entire life. Like, they do a horrible job of marketing in general. And Commissioner Rob Manfred, in an interview with USA Today, was kind of asked about this, the marketing, player marketing, and he was asked about Mike Trout in particular. He said, quote, Mike's a great, great player and a really nice person, but he's made certain decisions about what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do and how he wants to spend his free time and how he doesn't want to spend his free time. That's up to him. If he wants to engage and be more active in that area, I think we could help him make his brand really, really big, but he has to make a decision that he's prepared to engage in that area. It takes time and effort, end quote. So not like a mean quote from Rob Manfred, but perhaps a little bit of a shout-out and a little bit of a, hey, Mike Trout, we could use your help here, coming from the commissioner of Major League Baseball.
The language is kind of nauseating, though, when you hear it, when I'm hearing you read it like that. Like, that just doesn't sound good Rob Manfred.
I sound weird in general.
Well, I think that's you less than it is him and just the words that he's saying in terms of branding and marketing and synergy and things like that, all these corporate terms, and I know that only one of those was said, but those are the types of words that I hear that make me shudder a little bit because there's just a lack of sincerity to those things. Look, Mike Trout makes a lot of money to play baseball. He actually has sponsorship deals as well. If he would prefer to spend more time, as the Angel said when they defended him yesterday, as a husband, son, brother, uncle, and friend, and also doing a lot of things within the community as well, versus spreading his brand, I have no issues with that whatsoever.
He can do whatever he wants. I didn't even know he was a husband, son, brother. Oh, I figured he was a son.
I knew he was a husband, and I figured he was a son.
Yeah, I got that. Well, Mike Trout responded after the All-Star game, said, quote, I keep telling you guys I do as much as I can, but it's a long baseball season. I got to pick and choose when I want to do things and go from there. Also said, I'm not a petty guy and would really encourage everyone to just move forward. Everything is cool between the commissioner and myself. End of story. I'm just ready to play some baseball. So there's Mike Trout's response there. Look, baseball's got to find a way to do a better job of marketing its players, regardless of if the players go out and party and go to clubs and stuff. That shouldn't be a requirement. Baseball should still realize that this is one of the greatest players of all time, Mike Trout.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not quite LeBron level when it comes to LeBron-MJ comparisons, but who knows? When it's all said and done, you might mention Mike Trout's with the Babe Ruths, with the Hank Aarons, with the Ted Williamses of the world. I mean, this dude is on a torrid pace. He makes the All-Star game every year. He's already won the MVP twice. He might be the favorite this year as well. He's a beast.
26 and a seven-time All-Star. You're right about the potential for greatness with Mike Trout. And look, part of what makes a guy great at times is his humility in a situation. Yep. While he's very confident on the baseball field, he's somebody kind of likes to keep to himself off the field. And if he doesn't want to be partying it up or out all over the place and having pictures and videos taken by things like TMZ showing what a cool dude he is away from the field, then so be it. I'm fine with that happening.
Honest question, Trey. Mike Trout walks into Barton Creek Mall wearing a hat. Walks in wearing a hat, normal clothes. How many people you think recognize him? I would say not a lot.
I would say not a lot as well, but I think that's also pretty common for baseball players too.
And that's a problem. They got to market better.
But I think it's less about them not being marketed well versus baseball guys looking more like everyday individuals versus a lot of other sports.
Not like 6'11 Dwight Howard walking around Barton Creek Mall.
Exactly. Or hulking football players. Hockey players fall into that category as well, especially because hockey players are always wearing the helmets, and so it's hard to tell what they look like without the helmet, or in baseball players' cases, the hats off.
I would guess more people across the country, I'll leave Texas out of this, maybe it's not fair, I would say more people will recognize Cole Beasley than they would recognize Mike Trout. Cole Beasley's like 5'6", 5'7".
I don't know if I would, I guess because of the hair, I would have a chance with Cole Beasley.
You get my point, though,
yeah,
right?
No, you're right. You're right.
That's weird. All right, we'll see. Interesting stuff, though. The commissioner of Major League Baseball taking a little bit of a jab, friendly jab, but a jab nonetheless at the game's best player. All right, we're taking a break. Coming up next, a little bit of football talk. We will talk some NFL. Now, we've heard for a long time that the NFL's in trouble, and my gosh, the sky is falling. We're screwed. Well, money talks. Money says that might not be the case. Also, North Carolina football coach Larry Fedora. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? We'll talk about what he had to say at ACC Media Days. That's stirring the pot of the football world. That's next. Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.